use just one verse, and because there's so much in this one particular verse, and I want to make it as clear as possible, and that we'll be able to understand and see the picture here. It's so important for us to see. Now, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with it, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. I don't know, I'm using the English Standard Version here. The question here, as we see here very clearly, from whom the whole body joined and held together, every joint with its which it is equipped. So the whole body, who is the body here? Body is the church, the believers, is joined and held together. From whom? From whom goes with the context of the scripture, that is verse 15, says very clearly that He is the head, that Christ, who is the head, you know, Jesus is the head. So He is the head, and in Christ, the whole body, the church, is joined and held together, and every joint with it is equipped. And also it says that each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it will build up in love. Now, Christ is the head, and I say Jesus is the source for our growth. He is the source for our growth, as He supplies our spiritual food, and He gives us the spiritual thirst for us. And if you see a big, let me give you a little example here. If you see a big tree, healthy looking tree, a lot of leaves, a lot of branches, big tree, and a lot of fruits on it. And you know, the root is pretty deep. Right? So, and we know that the root, what does the root supply to the tree for it to grow big? There's something called a sap. Sap. And the root is grounded below, and the whole tree depends on the root. And the sap of the tree gives the daily function to the tree. Now, what is a sap? S-A-P. Sap is a watery fluid. If you break a branch of any tree or whatever like that, you see some fluid, kind of watery. So it's a watery fluid that circulates through the plants and carrying food and energy and substance to various leaves and the branches and the tissues of the tree. That is called a sap. Alright? So here, in the same way, how do we get our energy? How do we get our motivation? How do we get our growth, spiritual growth? It's from the root that is grounded. So the tree is more like us, and the root is Christ Jesus. Out of the root, you know, it's, the root is really deep. Even if that I have seen in the Philippines, when I see those coconut trees, you know, very tall. And when there is a heavy rain, like a typhoon coming, those coconut trees, especially the bamboo trees, okay, it can really go bend, you know, this way, that way, wherever the wind is going, it can bend either way. Very flexible, but it will not break because it has some deep roots there. So in the same way, the tree that is rooted, that is, if you are rooted in Christ Jesus, then whatever problems, trials, tribulations will come our way, but we can be strong in Christ because He gives us that food, the spiritual food that comes from the sap. So, that's the one that gives us the energy. Now, see Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to show you two other scriptures that goes really along, cross-reference with Ephesians 4:16, along with this. One is Ephesians 2:20. The other one is Colossians 2:19. So let's see, just get a picture of Ephesians 4, 16 and turn to Ephesians 2, 20. And it shows basically the same thing, same picture, same context. Ephesians 2, 20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, that means the church, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, Jesus is called in this building, he is the cornerstone. I gave an example of a big tree, the sap, the root. Here the building, he is the cornerstone. Now, what is the cornerstone? You know, we heard this word all the time, and what is a cornerstone? Why is it so important to have a cornerstone in a building? The cornerstone shows the origin of the building, the source of the building, the origin of the building. Christ is the source of the church. Without Christ, there's no church. Okay? Christ is the source of the church. And he is the founder of the church. So, that's why he is called a cornerstone. And also, the cornerstone unites two intersecting walls together. So it unites two walls together. Same way, what did Christ do? He united the believing Jew and the Gentile together. That's why he's called a cornerstone. He unites the black and the white together. He unites the Chinese and the Indian, the Australian, the Filipino together. You know, when I was in the Philippines last time, this young boy thought I was an American. And what he meant to say was, he thought I was a white American. And so, there is no superior color in Christ Jesus. So I told him that I'm a Christian. There is no prejudice and discrimination in Christ Jesus, because all believers, no matter what skin color you have, all believers are in Christ Jesus, because we are connected to Christ through what? Through his blood. That's the relationship we have, through his blood. Now, not through our physical parents' relationship. No. What is born of earthly is earthly. And Jesus said, what is born of above is from above. And we are not born of this earth. Of course, we are born of this earth, that is from our earthly parents, but there is a second birth that is called born again. And that comes from God. Okay? By the Spirit of God, when we were in darkness, he brought us into the light. We are awakened. Now we have a relationship through the blood of Christ. We are born from above through Christ Jesus. So, in Christianity, there is no prejudice. There is no discrimination. And that's so important for us to understand. And see Colossians chapter 2, verse 19, talks about the same context here as Ephesians 4:16. Colossians 2:19. Holding fast to the head, from the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth from God. Here again we see, just like the tree that gets nourished from the sap that comes from the root, we believers are nourished from Christ. And the body, it grows, is knitted together, is nourished and knitted together, and grows with a growth that's from God. Now, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, and Ephesians 2:21 and Colossians 2:19. You will see the picture very clearly. It's talking in the same context. There are three things that we need to understand. Three things. Very important. Especially on Ephesians 4:16, there are three things that we need to understand. If you want to see this picture clearly, we need to understand these three things. So I'm going to go through one by one. Okay, the first thing is, the believers in the church are subordinate in rank. That the church, that the believers are subordinate in rank. What's the word subordinate mean? It means we are subject to the authority or control of another person. Okay? Or we are in subject to the authority or control of another person, and that person is Christ because He is the head. We are the body. The body of the believers are lower in rank. Okay? So Christ has the highest rank. So we are subject to Him in authority and in rank. So everything comes from the superior. Just like the root, the branch cannot survive without the root. We cannot survive without the head, without Christ. So everything comes from Him because it is Christ who distributes the spiritual food. It is He who distributes according to His will to the believers, not according to our will, right? And so even in life, we cannot even take our next breath without Christ, without Him, without His grace. See, Ephesians 4:16 says here, the whole body, Ephesians 4:16, body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And it says that the church is held together in Him. We are held together in Christ. Every joint, everything is held together in Him. Just imagine, when you look at the physical side of it, look at the earth. Wow. Just a little bit this way, a little bit the other way, where will we be? But God holds everything together in place. In the same way, we are held together in Christ Jesus. If the church is held together in Christ Jesus, how about you? How Jesus said, not a hair cannot fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Not a sparrow can fall to the ground without the Father's knowledge. And here we see, wow, what kind of comfort we should have. Because if we are going to take authority in ourselves, man, we'll be in trouble, right? But it gives a lot of confidence. It's Christ is the one who is governing my life, not me. And, you know, every believer from north to the south, from east to the west, is held together in Him. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 19 says that we are nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments. So what is it? This shows an invisible picture that we cannot see from our physical eyes. Isn't it? We cannot see. But it's a spiritual picture of the church and Christ, the relationship, how He provides spiritual food for our growth. That's the first point we need to see. Alright? That He is the one who provides these things for our spiritual growth. Now, the second part is that when we receive our portion from Christ that was distributed by Christ according to His will, we are to communicate what we receive from Christ to the other believers. I told you, there is a vertical, there's a horizontal in this verse. What is the most important subject The issue in Ephesians 4:16, Ephesians 2:21, and Colossians 2:19. There's one subject that is really focused on. What is the most important issue here? It talks about one thing that all three scriptures are talking. It is called growth. All three are talking growth. Ephesians 4:16 says, makes the body grow. Ephesians 2:21 says, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Colossians 2:19 says, grows with a growth from God. Now, why did God make us? That's a very simple question that you can ask from a little kid. As children should know, why did God make me? That's the question where people will ask. Why did God make me? As Christians, we know that God made me for His glory. How can you give glory to God? Only through Christian growth and in service and practice. That's the way you can. Why are we here today? We are here to worship. We are here to learn. We are here to grow in Him. Why do we come to Christ? You know, there's a growth in Christianity. That's the whole picture what is showing here. For growth and to produce fruit, there has to be fruits coming out of us. In the same way, you know, just like the root, the sap, gives nourishment to the tree and it will produce fruits. In the same way, in our growth, there will be fruits coming from us. Okay? So here we see in the same way that the sheep of God are hungry. If you are regenerated, God will put a thirst in you. Before you didn't have a thirst. You had a thirst for the world. You were hungry for the things of carnal nature before. And you will, God gives you food, God gave you a job, and you get all the strength from the food, and you're using the strength what God has given and the money God gave you for carnal things. That's how we used to be. Alright? We are going to get into more next time on that. But now, all the energy and the strength and everything what God has given us, we see it is God given. It is not my own. And I use it for His glory. As I grow, my life will be for His glory. The sheep of God are hungry for green pasture, for living water. And once you are regenerated, you get this hunger and a thirst for the Lord, which you had never experienced before. And here, if you see in Ephesians chapter 2:21 says that we are separated, you know. This growth comes from a separation unto God. Ephesians 2:21 is very clear as it says, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the holy temple. Here, yes, a holy temple. We grows into a holy temple. The word holy means separated from the world. It doesn't say that we will grow into a worldly temple, but a holy temple. Growth comes through Christ Jesus. We need to be sanctified in Him. A separation. Then we will be able to, with that growth, we can what? Help the others. Right? With that growth, we can help the other believers. Because it is our communication to the other people. So Ephesians 4:16, 2:21, Colossians speaking, each part joined together and knitted together will grow in Christ. That is why fellowship is so important. I told you, the first part, and this we are going through the second part, that there should be a communication to one another. Once we get this food, we get nourished, you know, and we distribute. Once we grow, we need to go and help some other people, edify one another. How can we edify people? How can we correct people? How can we rebuke people if they are wrong? Unless we attend a fellowship. So fellowship is so important. There is no growth in isolation. Give me a good scripture for fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. It should be in your memory. Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, not neglecting to meet together. Believers, you know, we get caught, you know, in the world, you go through trials, tribulations, difficulties, and sometimes, you know, we need one another in the church to help one another. It's so important. So assembling together as believers are very, very important. And that's why if James says, if somebody is sick, we need to pray for them. Okay? If somebody is going through a hard time, we need to lift them up. Okay? There are so many Christian service here. If somebody is poor and having need, we need to help them. So all these things are there, and if you are not in the church, how can you grow? And, you know, one thing is, there's a need in one part, for instance, okay? In one part, there's a need in the body, and there's another part, there's a way that you can help that need. So there's always a good communication, right? This communication is important. That's part two. That's number two that we are studying here. I'm coming to number three. That is really important. But fellowship is very important. Psalm chapter 84, verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. And Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13:11. This you know, the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and makes no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You know, the only way you can walk and gratify your flesh in with all these carnal things when you're in the world, right? But when you're in the church, it's different. But you see, that's why you come to church. You learn of these things, you grow and you become mature. This whole scripture, Ephesians 4:16, is talking of Christian maturity, growth. Okay? So that's why it's so important to assemble together in fellowship. Now the third thing, the last part of Ephesians 4:16, first we saw Christ being the head. He's the one who nourishes us. It's a vertical thing. That He's the one who gives us everything, our daily needs, spiritual, physical, everything. Without Him, we cannot exist. And secondly, we saw the horizontal, our communication with one another. That we need to, what Christ has given us, once we grow, we need to help them if there are any weaknesses so that they will grow. What is the third thing? The third thing is, when we get this daily sap from Christ, as you grow in Him, you edify, rebuke, correct the believers, and you do this through mutual love. The body has to be healthy to communicate. within themselves to the other believers. And this health is maintained not by good vitamins, not by any other minerals or whatever you take, but it's maintained by love. See Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. From the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see that? So important. The body will work properly if we distribute what we have got to the other people. Then the other people will work properly. But everything has to be done in mutual love. It's so, so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. You know this scripture. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love edifies. The word of God contains love to the believers. This word of God contains His love to the believers. Take love out of knowledge, what will you have? If you take love out of knowledge, all the knowledge you have, if you take the love out of it, what will you have? It's only pride. That's all we will have. Take love out of sanctification. What will remain if you take love out of sanctification? It will be self-righteousness. Take love from truth. What will you have? Legalism. Red tape. Take love from evangelism. What will you have if you take love out of evangelism? It will be like colonialism. You know how people planted churches, they just went and built without any love. They just put a building and said, put a denomination, you know. That type of thing. You see, it will be organizations will be exalted, not Christ. Take love out of joy. What will you have if you take love out of joy? Worldly pleasure. Yeah. As the other one, it's just worldly pleasure. We cannot take love out, but we can give love. God expressed His love to the believers in Christ Jesus in the same way we need to express our love to one another. Now, everything has to be done in mutual love. This is the most important thing for us to understand in Christian life. You know, a lot of times we like to learn, and once we grow, we say, wow, you know, I'm pretty good now. I know a lot. I better keep it for myself, you know. No, that is not Christian love. And everything you know, you need to let others know. You need to give to the others. The Christian love is not jealousy, not envy, not self-righteous, not self-knowledge. Christian love is just like how God is. He loved us. He gave us. His son is a sacrificial love. So love is giving everything what you know to the others. If others are growing better than you, praise God. Oh, see, John the Baptist, all the disciples, some of the disciples came to Jesus and said, love, disciples are going to, came to John the Baptist and said, okay, a lot of disciples are going to Jesus. And, you know, and John said, well, let him be increased. Let me be decreased. So that's the glory. If somebody is growing, you can see that person is growing. Praise God. It's all for the glory of God. And if we are in the same tree, in the same building, with all ligaments and joined together, huh? If my hand is doing good, my foot will say, praise God, because I'm the same body. So we need to see that as we are in the same body, not separated. You know, not isolated. We are all connected. As we saw, ligaments, joints. These are connecting things, how we are connected to one another. When one feels sorry, when one is sorrowful, we all feel sorrowful for that person. When one is joyous, we all feel joyous for that person. That's the way. It's so important for us to understand that. Now, what does love for Christ lead to? Once we have a love to Christ, what does that lead to? When a person have a real love for Christ, a passion for Christ, what does that lead to? It leads to, you know what? Holiness. It leads to holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, nobody shall see God. You know, Apostle Paul said, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16:22. That means anybody has no love for Christ, let him be accursed. That's the most powerful, dangerous Greek word. Danger means it's a curse from God. Anathema. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That leads to holiness. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. That means if you really love the Lord, you will read this word. You will have a passion and a hunger for him. If you really love him, and he told us, if you love me, you will obey my word, you will obey my commandments, and you will really read this word. And I'll tell you, once you get into the word, once we come to Christ, hey, you are coming to Christ, and you are being with Christ. When you are being with Christ, that is being, you come to holiness. He is holy. You are being with him in the word. Christ has come not to do his will, but to show the Father to us, right? So it leads to holiness. So loving the Lord leads to his word, the Bible. And the Bible, the word of God, what does it do? Once you read the word of God, what does it do, the word of God? Once you start reading and really getting into the word of God, what does it do? It says, it will sanctify you. That's what Jesus said. My word is true. My word will sanctify you. What is sanctification mean? It means you are being separated from other things. You are being separated, and you are now unto God. So here we see it will sanctify you and it will lead you to holiness. Love for believers will lead to what? When you love one another, first of all, you need to love God. Okay? So love for believers will lead to what? Unity. We are not talking of false unity here. We are talking real Christian unity here. Okay? And love for the other people in the world, different countries, will lead to what? To missions. You have a passion for missions now. You didn't have any of these things before. You're totally in the world, doing your own thing, spending your own money. So what we learn today, here in a true church, in the church, is maturity. And one of the things, before I close, what I see in the church today is there's a great apathy. A-P-A-T-H-Y. Apathy. The word apathy, it comes from the word pathos, the Greek word pathos, means suffering. That means you get hurt, you feel the suffering. Pathos. The word a means no. Apathy. It's like atheist. Theos means God. Atheist means no God. The word apathy means, you know what? You have no feelings. You have no passion. So in the church today, there's a great apathy. that is going on. That means there's no passion, no feelings, no emotions in a sense. There's a false type of emotion. We are not talking that. We are talking real emotion or a feeling to God and to the believers. You know, it's so much, you know, is more like a superficial thing that is going on. I know when I first started as growing as a Christian, and I always had a notepad. I write everything what I hear. And I go home, and later on during the week, I read the notes. I try to get into the scripture. And sometimes what the pastor said or whatever, he said, I can get even better from looking into the Bible. I even grow more. So today, we don't see, there is a great apathy in the church. And it's so important that, you know, we get into basically, you know, what is the, we talking about the Reformation. We talk a lot about the Reformed doctrines. But the Reformation has to do with your heart being reformed. Like in the Old Testament, how God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told the people, reform your ways, your actions, your heart. That is the Reformation. And the Reformation first comes from God's knowledge. Once we have this knowledge, once we get this knowledge, we are so excited of this knowledge. You know, it's so easy to get in the 5 points and say, oh, now we know the 5 points. I'm so excited. I'll go and debate every Armenian now. You know, that's a good thing, but that's not it. You don't stop from there, our knowledge. Our knowledge is a growth of the whole counsel of God and giving the true doctrines to the other people, then showing true passion to God and true passion to people. And that is what the scripture is talking here, Ephesians 4:16. It's so important so that we will understand this. And once we understand, wow. You know, I get so excited when I go to the Philippines or a poor nation like that. And I see these people, when you look at their faces, you see these people, you know, it's like they are poor, very poor. And to have a Bible, it's something, a luxury to have a Bible. A lot of people don't have a Bible. That's why in our church, also in the Philippines, some people don't have Bibles. And once you show the Word of God, there are a few people in our church over there very hungry, very thirsty. And they want to grow. And they're extremely thirsty, and you can see their hunger and the thirst. You know, and once we know that, wow, our hearts are just melted with the power of God and what He's doing and how we can help them. And it's like how the Bible says that we are kind of joined together. Okay? And all the ligaments and everything joins and we are knitted together. It's the same thing. You're feeling. So, first thing, it's so important that the soul, that is us, we need the spiritual food. Without this food, we cannot live. You may say, I can live. Of course, you can eat whatever you want, do physical food, and you will live. You will live pretty healthily without the Word of God. There are a lot of people who look very healthy, and they live very good. But when they die, where are they going? Meaning is, the most important thing is your soul getting fed from the Word of God. And your soul need to get nourished from the Word of God. We spend so much time and energy for this flesh. To beautify our flesh, to get everything for the flesh. What about the soul? The most important thing. A man can gain the whole world, and yet, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, what good is it? What good is it? If you have all the money in the world, yet you go to hell, what good is it? This life is just like a drop on a leaf. Do you know those little drops on leaves? It can, anytime it can fall to the ground. Anytime. So we as Christians, we know these things. You know, the most important is knowing these things, then doing it. That's the most important. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. So pray for obedience. Pray for discipline. That's the most important. And if you don't have, I am not. I'm kind of pretty lazy these days, you know. I don't have much discipline. Are you praying for discipline? Are you praying for obedience? You know, if you see any weaknesses in you, pray for that. And Jesus said, once you pray, He will give it to you. And a lot of times, what do we pray for? All our physical things. We don't pray for spiritual things. Because we think that's not concerned. No, that's the most important thing, the spiritual thing. Okay, let's pray. Father, oh Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your gracious word, Lord. It's so tasty. It's so filling, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, all what we have eaten today, what we have digested today to our souls, Lord, it will nourish us, Lord, spiritually. And that we would take this word so simple. It's nothing deep. It's so simple. Just the basics. But a lot of times how we forget the basics. We pray, Lord, that we would hold on to these basics. And that we will hold on to the precious, precious word of God. And we would treasure them, Lord, in our hearts. And Lord, that we would meditate upon these words, Lord. And that, Lord, that we would be prosperous in our spiritual life with you once we meditate and obey these words. We pray, Lord God Almighty, as we are learning, as we are growing, that we would be a light to those who doesn't know you. That we would be, that you would use us as an instrument to the others, Lord, to encourage others, to edify others, Lord, to build up others who are weak. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand.